Good morning. I'm Charles Bradley Sutton for the appellant. Thank you for considering Red Zone's appeal. This is a dispute between two software companies. I represent Red Zone Software. The other party is known as Bivio. This lawsuit started in October of 2008 when Bivio filed suit seeking payment under its contract with Red Zone. Red Zone counterclaimed that Bivio misrepresented its capabilities. Red Zone appeals two issues. The first issue concerns Bivio's misrepresentations about installing a third-party software package known as PostGIS. Red Zone invented a new kind of software tool known as RZ Alert that helped fight wildfires. Red Zone hired Bivio to add some functionality to RZ Alert. In February of 2007, Red Zone first contacted Bivio about the RZ Alert project. For the next 3 months, the parties discussed in detail what pieces of RZ Alert Red Zone needed Bivio to develop. During these pre-contract discussions in the winter of 2007, Red Zone identified two critical aspects of Bivio's development, quick delivery and PostGIS. Red Zone needed quick delivery because it had clients that wanted to use RZ Alert to help protect assets from wildfires. These clients included AIG, Farmers Insurance, and a company called Firebreak. Red Zone needed Bivio to complete its pieces before the wildfire season started in the summer. Now I'll explain PostGIS. GIS is an acronym for Geographic Information Systems. RZ Alert was software that searched for outbreaks of wildfires. When a new wildfire was detected, RZ Alert would send an email to its clients with information about that wildfire, including a map of where it started and where it might spread. RZ Alert also identified structures on the map that were threatened by the fire. In order to do this mapping, RZ Alert used a third-party software package called PostGIS. PostGIS compared the latitude and longitude of the fire and nearby structures. PostGIS is open-source software, which means that it's free, and all information about it is available to anyone immediately over the Internet, and it also can be downloaded from the Internet. On May 14th of 2007, Red Zone emailed a detailed statement of work to Bivio and also told Bivio that please keep in mind that we have promised our customer delivery of RZ Alert by July 30th. The statement of work can be found in Addendum D of the opening brief.
Why is the statement of work important here, given that the parties didn't incorporate it into their contract?
The statement of work set forth the context of the representations that Bivio made to Red Zone. In particular, the very first item was installing PostGIS on Bivio's computer.
Because it wasn't incorporated in the contract, the parties didn't have an agreement that there had to be a particular time frame met. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I agree completely with that, yes, Your Honor.
Well, given the contract doesn't say that, why are the discussions about the statement of work even relevant? I understand you're saying it was a misrepresentation. But it was superseded, wasn't it, by the written contract?
No, it wasn't superseded. I mean, the contract is one thing. The statements, the representations of Bivio are another. The statement of work puts the representations in context because Bivio represented to Red Zone that it could perform the first task in a week.
Nothing in the statement of work gives any kind of a time frame, does it? Even if we accept that the statement of work is somehow relevant, there's no time requirement in the statement of work.
No, the representation about the time came from Bivio.
That was a promise, in effect, made by Bivio that it would do that work in a week?
It was a negligent misrepresentation.
And doesn't Mahaffey, the Supreme Court, tell us that such a statement about a promise with regard to future performance cannot form the basis for a negligent misrepresentation?
I cited law in my briefs that showed that even an opinion, if it comes from an expert and it is meant as a statement, a representation someone can rely upon, then it is actionable.
That was in the context of a lawyer's opinion regarding the legality of certain things, wasn't
that's,
it?
That's correct. On May 17th, 3 days after receiving the statement of work, Bivio sent Red Zone an email that they understand the specifications, they were committing to the statement of work, and they were sure we can complete each work item 1 through 5 in about a week. It's important to note that installing...
Excuse me, Council, one other question.
Yes.
with regard to the post-GIS assignment, a written assignment for that, was that, under the agreement, they were only to undertake work for which there was a written assignment.
Correct.
When was the written assignment for that made?
That was made in September 17th, 2007. There's an email from the president of Red Zone to Bivio to add geospatial capabilities to RZ Alert. That's in addendums. These are emails I'm going to mention are in addendums G, O, and P, and discussed in the opening brief on page 15.
Geospatial would have been a...
That's
understood that that means post-GIS?
Yes, yes. In the context of all the emails, it's fairly
okay.
Clear. And it's important to note that installing post-GIS is a software installation project, not a GIS project, and that's where the trial court erred. The trial court also completely ignored the importance of post-GIS. While video software could send an email before post-GIS was installed, all the evidence clearly shows that it could not perform the mapping function without post-GIS, because it could not perform spatial queries by manipulating latitude and longitude coordinates. And I present that evidence in my reply brief from pages 21 to 24. And Bivio's work progressed slowly after they signed the contract on May 17th. The frustration came to a head on November 1st, when the president of Red Zone exchanged emails with the president of Bivio, Rob Nagler. The email string is in addendum G, and the president of Red Zone told Nagler that Red Zone simply did not understand the reason for the delay in installing PostGIS. Nagler came back and explained that Bivio's computer operating system needed to be upgraded because it was not compatible with PostGIS.
Such an important topic. I mean, I understand that Redstone is claiming that it was critical to get this PostGIS installed. Why wasn't that made a written assignment on day one? I mean, they waited, what, 5 months till September before making that request?
Right. That there's several reasons for that. The first reason is that Red Zone allowed Bivio to direct the course of the work because they admired and respected Bivio's expertise in this Talos software project to proceed. And then later, Nagler assured Red Zone that they could catch up. And later, it was the time and the money Red Zone had invested in the relationship. And then finally, it was Red Zone's dependence upon Bivio that prevented them from moving forward quickly.
Excuse me, counsel. So help me understand this then. The negligent misrepresentation claim was based on representations made prior to entry of the contract.
That's part of it. The other part of it was in this November blow-up, essentially, that I've just gotten into on November 1st. First of all, Bivio explains that it's incompatible. Then, in that same email, Bivio promises to install it in 10 days. But the email string tells the whole story. On November 10th, Bivio reports that it's way ahead on PostGIS. On November 14th, it says installing PostGIS is a few more hours of work, but on November 27th, Bivio is still working on upgrading its operating system, and on December 13th, Bivio is still debugging PostGIS. So those addendums are in G, O, and P, as I mentioned before. So this long delay in installing PostGIS is a surprise to Red Zone, but it's not a surprise to Bivio, since Nagler testified that he knew upgrading Bivio software takes at least a month.
So what was the evidence that prior to entry of the contract, he knew he was going to have to upgrade the software?
I'm sorry, what the question was?
Prior to entering the contract, was there any evidence that Nagler knew ahead of time that he would have to upgrade the software?
Yes, there is. At trial, Mr. Nagler testified that he, let me get to that part, excuse me. Nagler testified that upgrading Bivio's operating system was on his plate for at least a year, that Bivio's operating system had to be upgraded in order to be compatible with third-party software package like PostGIS. He testified that upgrading would take at least 30 days because it required extensive testing to make it stable, and there's no instruction manual. That's all on the record.
Counsel, I read your trial brief and your closing argument, among a lot of other parts of the record. And the negligent misrepresentation you're discussing here was not raised in either of those, on either of those occasions. Obviously, it's become a big issue here on the appeal, but how would the trial court have known that this was an important issue? In the closing argument, the closest thing I found was you said that in 5 weeks, Bivio could deliver all the functionality in Red Zone statement of work. I think that was, I recall the trial court ruled that the Bivio did deliver the functionality in connection with the ruling on breach of contract, and you've not appealed that. So I'm not clear how the trial court was supposed to have understood that you were basing your case on failure to complete the installation of PostGIS in 1 week, when that wasn't even raised in your closing or your trial brief.
I have a couple of responses to that. The first is that we felt that negligent misrepresentation was always our strongest claim. And I thought I had conveyed that to the court in all the filings that we had had and all the hearings that we had had.
I'm talking about the particular negligent misrepresentation you're addressing this morning.
Oh, okay. That has to do with how the legal the case proceeded. My client was short on cash, and so we didn't have very much money to do depositions. And so I tried to keep the depositions to a minimum and also the time that we took them to a minimum. We didn't understand until Mr. Nagler took the stand at trial that he knew all along that it took 30 days to upgrade the operating system. That was new information to us. The other part is that I had a broken foot in the trial, and I just was unable to do things that I should have been able to do. So if I could focus on negligence then for a minute. The restatement that I cited in my brief states the standard of care as follows. When the information concerns a fact not known to the recipient, he's entitled to expect that the supplier will exercise that care and competence in its ascertainment, which the supplier's business or profession requires, and perform such investigations as necessary. And Red Zone had no knowledge of Bivio's operating system. Nagler and Vigio are both software experts. It's shocking they wouldn't check if PostGIS would run on Bivio's system. Nagler testified that upgrading Bivio's operating system was on a plate for a year. The second issue on appeal concerns Bivio's misrepresentations that Red Zone could understand Bivio's software well enough to use it without being dependent upon Bivio. Bivio wrote a software program known as BOP in a language known as Perl. Bivio intended to use BOP to help them write their pieces of RZ Alert. Red Zone told Bivio that Red Zone needed to be able to host and modify RZ Alert on its own. To address Red Zone's concern, Nagler told Red Zone that everyone who knows Perl could modify and understand BOP. But Red Zone could never have hosted and modified a BOP-based RZ Alert because, as a practical matter, only Bivio had that expertise, and only Bivio would ever have that expertise since BOP was so complex and it changed constantly. However, Red Zone remained in the dark about this problem until Bivio delivered the software. A few months before that, Red Zone had hired two software engineers who were both experts in Perl, but they couldn't understand the software Bivio eventually delivered.
Isn't that an issue of fact that the trial court resolved against you, Mr. Sutton? Because didn't the trial court say she relied upon Bivio's expert as opposed to your two people saying that they couldn't understand it?
She relied upon Bivio's expert to the extent that he stated that you need knowledge of Perl in order to understand BOP. There's no ruling anywhere that the statement is true. It can't be true because Bivio's software engineers who knew Perl couldn't understand the system. I think what happened in the trial court's ruling is that she took the case right up to August of 2007 and then stopped analyzing it, when really the analysis should have begun in November and looked at the emails and what Nagler did and did not do?
Excuse me, just looking at the trial court's order, she said that the failure of the BOP system was caused by personnel at Red Zone not having the requisite expertise. And you're challenging that finding?
That is correct.
And you're saying that there's no evidence whatsoever to support it?
I am saying, yeah, basically. The resumes, if you look at the statement that Mr. Nagler made, he said, and it's in the order, that anyone with Pearl experience could understand and modify BOP. That's not that issue. It's in the order. That's exactly what he said. But what we find is that statement is not true. Two experts that in Pearl were unable to decipher the program.
Time has expired.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. Richard Bland appearing for Bivio. I think the threshold issue is the standard of review, which we haven't even discussed yet. I think the Red Zone's position on appeal is extraordinary. They're not just saying, let's reverse the trial court and send it back for a new trial or further findings or anything else. They're arguing that the facts are, the material facts on their negligent misrepresentation claim are undisputed and literally compel the entry of judgment in their favor on all the elements of negligent misrepresentation. That's an extraordinary claim, and the only thing, I think that's the exact equivalent at the end of a jury trial of making a motion, after all the evidence is in, a motion for directed verdict. And I cited a case in my brief that said, in that case, the court can only grant that motion if the facts taken in the light most favorable to the non-moving party compels the entry of judgment. And I think that's exactly what Red Zone is asking you to do here today, is to look at those facts, take them in the light most favorable to Bivio, and in view of those facts, rule that they win. In other words, order that trial court to enter judgment on the misrepresentation claim. That's an extraordinarily high bar to get over, I think, in appeal, especially in light of what happened below. I mean, we had 6 days of testimony. You've seen the record. It's the exhibits alone are this high. I mean, the trial court in its ruling made a special note of that. And the parties were disagreeing on basically every single material fact that you could think of. There was a dispute. There was nothing undisputed below, in my view. And I think that's the standard of review that the court should adopt in this.
Just case. Take the one issue. You said there is no evidence.
I'm glad you brought that up. First of all, Mr. Penchak, and I cited the exact testimony in my brief, stated unequivocally, that in his opinion, any person reasonably proficient in Pearl could understand and modify a BOP-based program, could understand BOP. Now, BOP is written in Pearl, just like War and Peace is written in English. There's a difference.
It's in Russian.
The version I read recently was in English, thank God. But, you know, War and Peace is a different sort of animal than, you know, what we read in first grade, See Dick Run. If you look at the record, what happened was, and the court was clear that they, at the outset, the court made a finding in its ruling, at the outset, they understood, well understood, that they couldn't take over operating this system unless someone had sufficient expertise in Linux, which was the operating system, Perl, which was the programming language, and BOP, which was the special product that the application framework that Bivio had created and was going to use in this project. They understood that. He also understood how complex BOP was. They understood that it wasn't very well documented. They understood that it wasn't very well widely used. So when he says that it's undisputed that that was false, in other words, that someone reasonably proficient in Perl couldn't understand BOP, what he really meant to say was is that they didn't spend enough time on it. They didn't acquire it. It would take time for a Perl programmer to come in, look at BOP, and be able to be proficient in it. The representation by Mr. Nagler didn't say how long it would take to do that. It wasn't, he never said, and they never believed, that someone could just walk in off the street, say, well, I'm a Perl programmer, pick up, you know, and just with no investment of time or money, just pick up where Mr. Nagler left off. That was never their understanding. And the fact of it is, if you look at Mr. Fournier's testimony, he looked at it and he says, well, yeah, I can do this, but it's going to take me a lot of time to do it, and I think there's a better way to do it. Let's forget BOP, and we'll just pay Mr. Nagler to run it for a while and eventually just write a separate program in a different language that we understand. And that's what they did. They made a business decision. They could have invested the time and money and said, no, Mr. Fournier, I want you to start working right now and really get a hold on this BOP application framework. They could have done that, and that's clearly in the record. Now, as far as PostGIS, Your Honor brought up a good point. I was shocked when I saw the appeal brief that PostGIS was even an issue. The trial court never focused on PostGIS. In fact, there's not any representation that was made that you will find in the record where Mr. Nagler said anything about a compatibility issue one way or the other between PostGIS, which is an application, and his version of Linux, which was Red Hat. It was like he was running a just similar to Windows. You remember XP3 or whatever was in Windows, and then it went to Vista, and then now it's Windows 7. So he was running a version of Linux, which was not the latest version of Linux, which was CentOS. PostGIS was an application he knew nothing about, and he testified at trial that he told them up front that he knew nothing about PostGIS. When he made his quote promise or offer to accept the SAL as written, and he thought he could complete each item in a week or so, he wasn't making any representation about compatibility. He didn't know that, and they knew that. If you look at 5 days before the contract was signed, Mr. Newcomer writes an email in which he acknowledges that they don't know anything about PostGIS. He says in May 17, this is at Exhibit 2 at page 39, referencing Unit 1 of the Statement of Work. And that's the part that talked about Postgres and PostGIS. He says, Unit 1 of the SAL, quote, would give you guys a chance to get acquainted with Postgres and PostGIS and plan your implementation approach. So they clearly acknowledged, right, they knew up front that RedZone was the expert in GIS, not Bivio. If anything, my client had a right to rely on their knowledge and expertise in selecting PostGIS for this product. That was a GIS application. And the trial court pointed out when the email from Mr. Woodward, when they were, you know, when the original contract came back with the statement of work, if you recall, Mr. Woodward said, wait a minute, I think we didn't explain things very well about what you were doing, what we were doing, and what we were going to do together. And then he limits Bivio's responsibility, and they clearly take full responsibility for all the GIS aspects.
Any agreement?
No. No, it was explicitly abandoned. The trial court specifically found that, and it's clear from the emails leading up to the signing of the contract that they clearly abandoned the SOW because they didn't want Bivio to have the whole statement of work. That's when he says, well, wait a minute. You do these things. We're the GIS experts. The email even said, if we need GIS application experience expertise, we will hire it. Well, what is PostGIS? It's a GIS application. So right up front from the very beginning, there was absolutely no possibility of any, first of all, there was no representation by Mr. Nagler concerning PostGIS, but there was clearly no possibility of reliance because it was RedZone who was the expert in GIS, not Bivio. And then, as Your Honor also pointed out, PostGIS was not necessary and was not part of the first step of the contract. Mr. Woodward, in his email, says, well, let's get through this first step, this initial step, and then we'll see how things are going. Well, the first step was getting RZ Alert up and running, which the trial court correctly found occurred in August. The PostGIS had not even been assigned at that point. Now, they could have just, and by the way, the compatibility issue, which was, it wasn't that his, by the way, that his version of Linux was incompatible with PostGIS. It would just, it could be installed on Red Hat. It would just take a little extra work. He discussed it with Mr. Woodward, and they decided, well, we'll just wait till you do your CentOS upgrade. So the equivalent would be, well, you go ahead and install Windows 7, then you can easily install PostGIS, which is what happened in November. But they didn't have to continue hiring, as the trial court pointed out. They could have stopped after phase one in August and said, well, we don't want to deal with you anymore. So again, no possibility really of any reliance on this PostGIS compatibility thing. Any other questions? I think we covered the second issue first. I think that one's pretty clear, but that's all my remarks, Your Honors. Thank you.
Thank you both for your arguments this morning. The case will stand submitted. We will get you a written opinion in due course.